It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Greetings and welcome, everybody, to the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. That's right. It's the Lifestyle Show on for 22 years. Oh, wait a minute. 23. Anyway, all I know is I'm so glad to be here. There's lots to talk about going on in golf. Well, all over the world. Some interesting things. And the show today is going to be a great one for you. We've got Dr. Lanny Johnson joining us, and I'll introduce him properly in a moment. Craig Renshaw is with us, our resident PGA professional, and Dr. Bob Denny, our historian from the PGA of America, and your humble correspondent. I'll help everybody take off and land, and they can fly. They all know how to do that. So some breaking news today from this morning with Tiger Woods. We're going to get to that in just a moment. And then, of course, we've got Ryder Cup still coming out, more news still coming out, reactions coming out. We'll go over some of those items. And of course, my experience going to the Ryder Cup. Can't wait to hear Dr. Lanny's take on that and what happened there a little bit. But for the most part, we're going to get started. Craig, good morning. And good morning to everybody else. I want to thank Certifresh Cigar for being a long, long time sponsor. You know, without sponsors, you cannot have shows. And I've been doing this show for 23 years and 25 years for Great American Golf, not to mention television. And it's just been an amazing experience and a wonderful ride. I feel like I'm just getting going and excited for the next 25 years. So we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, Certifresh Cigar and Squares Golf Shoes, Tour Edge Golf, Ashworth Golf Apparel, all great, great sponsors. Ashworth is rather new this year. The others have been with me for many years, and I can't tell them how much I appreciate them. So I'm going to tell you. I tell them all the time, but I want to tell you to make sure you go to touredge.com, make sure you go to certifreshcigar.com, and make sure you go to squares.com. You know, Squares started a revolution in their ground force reaction, groundbreaking. And you want to get there. Not only are they pioneers, but they are now considered the disruptors and the industry leader in golf shoes globally, voted by everybody everywhere as the best shoe. So many people using it. They went into pickleball. They've gone into baseball. I'm sure there'll be more coming out. Squares.com. And thanking all of them. Now, I woke up this morning to some news about Tiger Woods. I don't know, Craig, have you read that? Dr. Bob, did you know about it?
Yes, I read it on his website, his Twitter account. 2 days ago, yep. And I also saw the follow-up that was a day ago.
Yeah. All yep. Right. Dr. Lanny Johnson is not only a pioneer, but considered one of the great orthopedic surgeons in American medical history. He is studied by other orthopedics, and I'm going to be seeing an orthopedic that Dr. Lanny put me onto. What a wonderful thing. I want to thank you for that. Today I have the MRI, and then I'll see Dr. Tokish at some point. His assistant's going to be calling me in the next day or two to get that scheduled and to go see him. So thank you. With that, of course, Dr. Lanny has been coming on these shows for years and years, including my TV show, and not only talking about his medical expertise, but of course about all the golf expertise and the patents and the equipment and the books written, all of that for golf, and then, of course, obviously for medical. Today, Dr. Lanny, I sent you that text message this morning as an expert from the article. And I was wondering if you could, get me your reaction to it, because Tiger announced that he had another back surgery on, I believe, Friday in New York City. We just came back from New York City from the Ryder Cup, and then a week after that. And I don't know if he was there preparing or what, but this surgery was surprising. I don't know that anybody knew it was coming other than his immediate family, doctors, examination, experts. So what did he do to get prepared for this surgery? What did they look at first, if you might tell us that?
Okay, let me start back with some anatomy of the spine, which will help you understand this.
Okay.
Our lowest joint in our low back, the sacroiliac joint, excuse me, the lumbosacral joint between the lumbar and the sacrum, moves the most. And as you go upward, that happens to be S L5 S1. Then you go to 4-5, 3-4, lumbar 2-3. Successively, as you go up, there's less motion. All the way through the thoracic spine, it has very little motion. And then you get to your neck has more motion. Okay?
So this L4-5 that he had replaced,
Oh, yes, go ahead.
he said he had a collapsed L4-5 with disc fragments, a compromised spinal canal, and I had my disc replaced. I already know I made a good decision, and this was posted on his social media there over the weekend. So when you say L4-5, am I hearing you say that that is on top of the lumbar region, right in that area, the lower third of the back?
You start over. I gave a first explanation of decreasing motion normally as you go up. So he first had the between L5 and the sacrum operate on, and therefore less motion there. Therefore, any motion in your back with golf has to be translated up one space, which normally doesn't move as much.
Okay.
So therefore, that joint's going to get stressed and be painful. And that's where, so apparently, don't know his case. I'm just talking in generalities. So that what happened is that he would like to have the 4-5 space move more because it doesn't move naturally as much, especially if the space below doesn't move at all or very little, which he's
Okay.
done before. And so he thought, okay, I'd like to have, I'm assuming he thought, I'd like to have more motion at that space, so I'll put in an artificial disc. Okay. All right. When you have surgery, let me look at it. I thought of it from the standpoint of my finger. Let's say that this joint here has operated on, and that doesn't move that much. And so the next joint moves even less. So I want to get this joint operated on. When you have surgery, it isn't restoration or normalcy. It's trying to help the situation, but fibrous tissue occurs. So they both have less motion. So if this goes on further, and in the illogical progress, he'll think that he ought to have 2-3 operated on, get more motion.
Really?
Doesn't make any sense to me.
So why would he do it?
Because he has the illusion that he might be young again.
Now he turns 50 at the end of December, Bob and Craig, and that age, what about that age, Dr. Lanny, as far as having this kind of work continuing to be done on your back?
Well, it isn't going to get better. Let me also tell you this. He's had six operations, all right? This is six, if I understand, on his back. Of everybody in America going to have surgery on their back today, a large percentage of them have one thing in common. They've had the back operated on before.
Okay, so if you have back surgery, it means you probably already did.
And you're probably going to have another one until you finally give up. And I can understand his personality and his record and profession and desire to continue. I'd just be totally amazed. I mean, I've been amazed by him in the past, but I can tell you that the cards are being stacked heavily against his him in the future.
Well,
That'd be a shock.
Dr. Lanny.
Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Bob.
Dr. Lanny, I've watched him as a layman for the last few years, and he has distinctive puffiness of his face and his eyes. He walks with a halter gait. I say he slightly looks like a man that is 10 years older than what I am. And I'm 74 years old. And that's sad to me. I just wonder, as a layman, am I seeing things there that sort of tell you that he's undergoing so much pain?
Well, I think, first of all, because he has the injury to his lower extremity, but the injury's there, that affects his gait. But his posture will start to be affected as he gets, will start going more like this. I'm surprised over time we'll see he'll gradually move into this position. And then what they described at surgery is a condition called spinal stenosis, where the spinal canal gets a lot of bone and scar tissue and presses on the nerve. I understand wanting to have that operated on, but I'm not optimistic for a good long-term result, and I'm sorry for that.
What happens when you have a not just the collapsed disc, but a compromised spinal canal? And that's what you're talking about with the stenosis.
Yeah, so the spinal cord goes through here, and then the bone and hypertrophy growth goes around it, and so they have to cut away some of the bone to free the nerve canal. And it's I've had two orthopedic surgeons friends of mine have this in the past year, and they said absolutely never again. There's so much pain related to the surgery, and what you mentioned about his face being puffy and having somewhat of a different countenance. He has to have back pain, and he has to have some medication to control the back pain. I
Which
mean,
that means narcotics.
pardon?
Does that pain medication mean addictive narcotics?
I can't say that. I can just say that he has to have back pain, and if this surgery is some kind of miracle, which means slight improvement, he'll have back pain, and he'll have to take something for back pain.
And
And
I'm certainly not inferring about, opioids and narcotics and painkillers and all that. But I'm presuming that that is what most doctors would prescribe after a surgery like this. Not being a doctor, I don't know. I'm going to find out because I'm getting ready to have both of these torn rotator cuffs operated on by your orthopedic friend and referral that you gave me, and we're going to see what the pain level is like. I have no idea, but I do know that even when I had my small little stomach surgery, they immediately gave me pain medication.
well, no, he'll have to have pain
Well,
medication.
I opted not to
Well,
take it because I'm afraid of that stuff, but whatever.
no, he'd have to have narcotics after this surgery because of the pain. The problem he'll have is the continuance of pain and managing that pain. It's tragic. It's just tragic.
All right, I want to go to Craig and Dr. Bob because I'm sure they both have questions for you, but I also want to get a couple comments. Tiger turns 50, and of course, everybody wants him to play on the Champions Tour. Now, all the PGA Tour Champions competition is fierce. I mean, these guys are out there to play. He will be the youngest one out there. They all are when they turn 50. But I don't see, is he going to be able to play golf in 3 months after this, Dr. Lanny?
I don't think so. I think he long has been a ceremonial golfer at best, and now at most he may make his presence known or make some cameo appearances. I cannot imagine he can sustain any kind of competitive golf. Almost, I'd be surprised if he can do recreational golf.
Dr. Bob? Question for Dr. Lanny or comment?
Dr. Lanny answered my thoughts already, basically on it, and I think we'll see Tiger supporting his son in golf.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I this was probably done more for having a life outside of everything. And that's what he probably needs more than anything right now. So I think golf has become less and less important as far as that, and hence why he is being more involved in other things with the PGA Tour. And we, ceremonial or not, who knows whether or not we'll even see him as ceremonial.
Well, let me also say that in this kind of a situation, I was surprised they're going to put in an artificial disc because one of the initial treatments for spinal stenosis is a spinal fusion. But there's been a move in recent years in the spinal surgery area of orthopedics to want to restore normalcy of some kind of motion. And that's, I think, what may happen is he may eventually have another one, which will be a spinal fusion to make the entire area stiff so it doesn't move at all. That would be the next operation he's going to get.
The whole thing is about quality of life, right, doctor?
Yeah, well, I'm 92 and I've decided success at this age is ability to cope with it. So I have a lot of different physical ailments, but I'm living within the restrictions, and so I don't have pain for everyday activity. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm not
Sure.
going to do a cartwheel.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to see Tiger play on the PGA Tour champions. Obviously, as the next couple months go by, you may get some news about it. What is his recovery protocol now? What will he need to be doing to recover from a replacement of a disc?
In my opinion, the sixth operation, it'll really be slow. If this is successful, I'll be absolutely astounded. Why? Six operations. I don't care if this is the greatest surgeon, the best technique, the latest technology. Six operations have scar tissue. If I had my finger operated on six times, it wouldn't move because of the scar tissue, no matter how successful all the surgeries were. So the odds are so much against him. I know he's overcome them in the past. It's increasingly evidence against any success.
And then physical therapy and whatever other activities they give him for strength building and mobility restoration, things like that. You want your range of motion back. And that's pretty much the word that he used. He wanted more mobility. And you've explained that so well to us. I don't see how it can be. I don't know that anybody would see how it could be that he would be on the Champions Tour. And as you've just said, it's going to be a very slow recovery. And his age of 50, he's not been in any kind of competitive environment at all, Craig. What does that do to a Tiger Woods or to any professional golfer when you have been out of professional competition for so long now?
Well, my assumption is that he starts. I think he is funneling that energy into other things. It's into his son, his daughter, other. It becomes a distant memory in a weird sort of way. So, and he can watch TV and see himself on there and everything like that, which is great. But I just think he starts to fill those holes with other things, and it becomes less and less important.
Absolutely. All right, Dr. Lanny, I have to go to you and get your opinion, your take on the Ryder Cup. I haven't even asked you about this. I don't even know if you had a chance to follow it and some of
Well,
the.
I watched it, and I think the golf was fell into less interest when the crowd behavior was so bad. I think that seemed to be the main feature of the Ryder Cup. The other one, I guess, secondarily was the two best golfers for America didn't play very well, and so that was another big feature. But I think, the sociological aspect of this was the highlight, and unfortunately, and there is a way around it, in my opinion. You can have what's called citizen's arrest, and so if they announced that there will be a citizen's arrest made at the Ryder Cup, and any two people who point to a person who misbehaved or threw something or used foul language, then the authorities would come in and remove the person from the event. And I think if they announced that, every drunk there would have to think it over before he threw something.
But our golf tournaments, professional events, do they share the blame in that they let everybody in? They have very, very little screening processes that if you've been a problem in the past, and most of the time they don't know because people don't get arrested or thrown out. That's on a one-off basis here and there. They encourage the sale of alcohol, which inflames the situation.
Well,
And they go ahead.
it's not a soccer game, okay? It's a different culture. But what happened, I think, is when the Phoenix Open changed the culture for golf. Not completely, but it made it okay to misbehave. And
Absolutely.
it became a circus. That was a first event that became a circus. And I think that had played over into the Ryder Cup.
They did, and I grew up from the age of five going to the Phoenix Open and then covered it as media for goodness 20 years, from a different viewpoint, different perspective. And I saw over the years, during those decades, I saw it change. And I said many, many times on this show, Craig, I'd like you to get a comment on this too, that the Phoenix Open organizers and the nonprofit organization, the Thunderbirds, became a victim of their own success. And then they're scrambling the last few years to try to figure out how to rein it in and manage it. Now, we're not here to talk about the Phoenix Open, although it'll come up again and again as we get closer and closer. But Craig, has the Ryder Cup become a victim of its own success, or was it only because they chose to go to Long Island in New York?
I think it's more the first that it's they got successful. They've been pushing this for a while. It's as I've said, it's the way fans have been acting now for over a couple decades. It's gotten gradually worse and gradually worse, and it just snowballed and it got that way. It's not one thing. It's many, many different things, but you take all those many things together and it's a 20, 30% problem. We had 50,000 people there and it was 2,500 people. Okay. But then that snowballs and snowballs and snowballs. And, as some of the players said, the players were never cheering for the Americans. They were hating against the Europeans. If you were cheering for Scottie Scheffler and cheering for the Americans a lot more than hating on the Europeans, that would have been something different too. Nobody's saying you can't scream and yell and do all this stuff cheering for people, but when you're cheering against people, that becomes a big difference. And a lot of this stuff is just kind of being ignored. And it's we'll just see, but we're going to go
It's,
through it again.
is it all about the money, Dr. Lanny?
Well, tell me it isn't.
Well, I don't know that it's all about the money. It may be only about the money.
That's probably right.
And Dr. Bob, I know there's changes going on in all professional golf. We're going to get to that and talk about that in this show and the next one. A little bit today and a lot on the Saturday Great American Golf Show. But you look at all of this, and I'm wondering whether, golf has become something very different than it was, and thus the calls from a number of different people and organizations saying, wait a minute, we've got to get professional golf ran more like the Masters. They have a certain set of rules. They have a certain decorum. They have a certain history. They don't deviate from that. They do not change it. And their food is inexpensive. Their adult beverages are inexpensive. I think a Coke is $2 or something. They have kept the fan experience to a complete focus on the fan. And yes, there's great golf, and yes, there's great history at the Masters. It is an invitational. They can control that. So very quickly, lightning round answers. Dr. Bob, let me start with you. Should professional golf, like the Ryder Cup and like PGA Tour and like, well, all professional golf, you don't hear this from ladies golf. Isn't that interesting? You just don't hear this kind of behavior and this raucous crowd level and throwing beer cans at people and filthy language. I've been to so many of them and walked the fairways and interviewed the player. It just never comes up. And if he does, you don't know about it because it may come up once a year. I don't know how often, but you don't hear about it. So should professional golf and events like the Ryder Cup start taking on more of a master's decorum, Dr. Bob Denny?
Well, the word is decorum, and the other one is control.
Yeah.
And you already mentioned it, that the Masters is controlled by the Augusta National Golf Club. They have a strict umbrella over the tickets. And if you abuse any ticket and any ticket holder there, that person will lose its privileges, and the person who gave the ticket to you will lose their privileges. That's automatic, draconian, off the charts.
Yes.
Number
Yeah.
two, no cell phones are allowed on the golf course. Tell me how people enjoy that little thing. That's number three. Number two, three, the leaderboards, you are not having anybody walk with a leaderboard up the fairway. You have to wait till that changes on the boards at Augusta, okay? That they've had so much vast control, Ray, over the last 10 years. They purchased all the property, they've changed all the landscape, they have everything under control. You will never see that in other organizations because they don't have that kind of ability. Augusta has deep pockets to make control. That's the big difference.
Craig, should professional golf follow more the decorum and control of a master's organization?
Sure, why not? This has been, why shouldn't golf be leading the way to try to get the way fans act a little bit more under control? Like I said a couple weeks ago. We're supposed to be this snotty sport with everything else and everything's all in a line. And then you see that and it's like, well, I guess it's not this way. So, when did it become the opposite? Well, it's been that way for quite a while. That it just doesn't happen every week. It happens once every 2 years. It happens this. Like I said, they've been wanting this kind of explosion for a long time. It's just not what they expected.
All right, I got to go out to a break. I'm only going to go out for about 1 minute. And I want to thank Ashworth Golf Apparel, ashworth-golf.com. Make sure you go there. The new fall line, absolutely beautiful clothes, great golf attire. It's for the sport, so you play better, I think. I know I do in my Ashworth Golf Apparel. And you look great. Their outerwear is fabulous coming into the fall and the winter months. They have the coolest jacket out. Go find it. You're going to love it. And then I also want to say thank you to my friends at Montezel Hotel and Casino. Montezel Hotel and Casino is the friendliest casino in Arizona. And they just have one of the most fun environments when you go to Payson, Arizona, up in the mountains. Beautiful time to go there now. All over northern Arizona with the leaves changing, and all over the United States for that matter. We're in my favorite time of the year from my birthday, October 3rd, through the end of the year and New Year's. Those 3 months are my favorite time of the year for so many different reasons, family traditions, on and on. If you're going to take a trip and you're in Arizona or you're coming to Arizona to visit family, I know that Sedona, Flagstaff, the Grand Canyon are great places to go, but I also want to mention one of my favorite places to go is Payson, Arizona, with everything you can imagine doing, the gateway to the Rim Country, it's called, and Montezel Hotel and Casino. So you can find them and get your rooms booked. Tell them Ray Adams sent you. And I've got a couple of new sponsors I'm going to thank at the very end of the show. And I also want to mention, if you are going to be planning some holiday travel, anything like that going on, you want to get with vacaymodetravels.com. Vacaymodetravels.com. Let Sarah and Alden Holowinski guide you through the maze and sometimes the expense that you don't need to go through, and the time, by the way. They meet with you, they consult with you, they find out everything you want for a very tiny fee. I was shocked at their fee. Few hundred dollars. They do everything. They do everything for you. I don't care if you're going on the other end of the earth, if you want to go on a boat in the Antarctic or have a wedding in Mexico, and anything and everything in between, from golf junkets, you name it, backyard family reunions in Minnesota. I don't know. Wherever you're going, whatever you want to do, get with vacaymodetravels.com. We're going to be back in 1 minute.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
All right, we're back on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, everybody. Ray Adams here with Craig Renshaw, Dr. Bob Denny, and of course, the eminent Dr. Lanny Johnson. And he always makes radio show house calls and has done so for years and years. Here's another one, not diagnosing anything, but because, well, we're not his patients, but providing his amazing body of medical and especially orthopedic surgery information. Well, garnered over what, 50 years of practice or more, Dr. Lanny?
Well, I have my retirement is long enough. I concluded my clinical practice more than 30 years ago, but I practiced for over 40, yeah.
Well, and you're still consulted. You have 40 some medical patents. We can go on and on. You have been recently working on something that has helped a lot of people. I want you to mention that and give us an update.
Well, I have a number of things going. I've been interested in a reagent, which is a food supplement, interesting enough, but has pharmacological properties. It's called protocatechuic acid. I call it PCA for short. I have 31 patents related to this, been studying it for 20 years. And the main thing that would be helpful, perhaps to golfers, would be the anti-inflammatory aspect for joint problems. And that's called drlannyshealth.com. You can get that. But right now I've been working on two things, one at the Mayo Clinic and otherwise and trying to control infections in total joint surgery. It's a catastrophe if you get one, and we're working on ways to control that. So I have a lot of things going medically even today. So busy all the time, fortunately. And my physical body isn't great, but my mind's held up, so I'm still busy.
Well, Dr. Lanny, you said you were 92 years old, and we all want to be like you when we grow up. We just do. We flat out want to be like you when we grow up, and you're 92 going on 52. And I'm so glad you're going to be around another 20 years. I've asked the good Lord above to continue to bless you in all the different ways, as I do for so many different people. As we live life, the older we get, the more things break, like cars and houses. And we just had a magnificent hailstorm, one of the worst in Phoenix history. And it just destroyed so many different things all over the city with flooding and all that. Houses get old, they break, storms happen, bodies break down, human bodies break down. Cars are always breaking for some reason. But if we can learn to cope with it and live with it and have the right medical healthcare attention, and that's a key right there in our medical healthcare system, then we can learn to cope with it and we can be healed. We can get a lot better. So, and of course, miracles do happen, and we're hoping for one for Tiger Woods. We'd love to see him play some golf. It would be great, as we would everybody. All right. So, final question about the Ryder Cup for right now, and that is, there's been a lot of backlash on not just the PGA of America and Don Rae, the president, but there's also been, I mean, they criticized Don Rae. You got to tell me where I'm going wrong here. When you go to a Ryder Cup and there's a celebratory, you know, environment, and it goes on all week. I mean, we were there. It happened in Rome 2 years ago. Bob's been to 8 or 10 of them. It's a celebratory event, like many, many tour events are. And Don Rae, the president, who I interviewed in a very long interview there, made some comments that people didn't really like, and he made them to all the different media. And one thing he did is he was dancing, what was it, on Friday or Saturday night, Bob Denny? And they criticized him for that because the American team was losing, but he was in having party time with sponsors and friends and what have you. Now, whether we're winning or losing, why can't you enjoy yourself? Bob?
Okay. What you saw was a video of Don doing a karaoke using lyrics from Eminem's song. And yeah, that was his own personal time, and that has nothing to do with the Ryder Cup. And a man is not, in my mind, I could give a darn, you know, but people want to shoot people because he's the newsmaker of the moment, that he was easy game on social media.
Has he been over criticized, Craig?
Well, none of this planning was done on his watch. So yeah, from that way. But there's a lot of that in a lot of places, that he's the figurehead. He is the person that everybody sees. And, you know, as we've talked to now for over 2 weeks, this could have been chopped down and put to bed right away with like less than a minute comment. And none of this would have happened. And unfortunately, it didn't.
Dr. Lanny?
Well, I don't have, I haven't seen that. I've heard a prominent PGA pro criticize him as not just on that, but for other things. But it occurs to me to tell you about a sociological thing that's happened related to this, which I think is germane. I have a friend who sells golf equipment and apparel throughout the state of Michigan.
Okay.
He said when COVID came, it changed the entire culture of golf. One, the people went to golf when COVID happened. But number two is there are a lot of people that got money from the government, trillions of dollars, not just in Michigan, but everywhere. So he said prior to COVID, golf courses were a little bit vacant. After COVID, 8 o'clock in the morning at any public course was completely packed.
Yeah.
And it still remained packed.
Yeah.
And that has brought in a type of culture of people that knew nothing about golf, but had money enough to be involved in it now and had no history of the culture or whatever. And he said this has tremendously changed the culture of golf, which may be overplayed into the crowd that went to the Ryder Cup.
And a lot of people think that, you know, changing the culture of golf was something that was a long time coming, Dr. Bob. And, you know, you look at the Topgolf early success. Now they've apparently struggled. But, you know, it was getting people into the game in a way that they would not ultimately or otherwise get into the game playing a traditional game of golf. But they would go to Topgolf, have their burgers and fries and their beers and hit the ball and play the game and, you know, be outside. And it was something to get younger people and other people into the game. I don't know. You look at LIV Golf coming along. They brought loud music. They brought fun, alcohol, celebratory experience. Not so much unlike other tour events, though, because other tour events do the same thing. But LIV became known for that. They really injected that into the game with a very big injection quickly. So I think we've brought it on ourselves, whatever it is we brought on that people don't like. And I know that it's easy to lash out, but we're all part of this. I think all of us are part of this. All right. The final question for the Ryder Cup is, Dr. Lanny, let me start with you. And that is Keegan Bradley. Keegan Bradley did not get to play the Ryder Cup in Rome. It upset him greatly, hurt him. He was so disappointed. Then he played his guts out and became probably able to be on this Ryder Cup as a player. And he talked about it so many times through the last year or so that it's just the Ryder Cup is such a dream for him and was since he was a kid. So then they choose him as a captain. And now it's always easy afterwards. But now the question is, we know that Luke Donald is going to go down in history as one of the greatest captains in history, probably top five for sure. And we know that we've had American captains that have been excellent, beyond wow, so good. But then we've also had American captains that have been and so there's been a lot of criticism. And we're in that time now, and we talked about this before the Cup. And we're still every single day having new comments, new releases. We're getting graphics, photos, all these stories are out there going on. And it's going to continue for a couple of more months. It's going to. And we're going to talk about it. I don't know that we're going to solve the golf world's problems, but I know that we could certainly talk about them. We can analyze them somewhat, and we could certainly inject our opinions. So in hindsight, was Keegan Bradley not the right choice for captain? Well, I'm going to start with Dr. Lanny.
I might say that because he wasn't maybe prepared or as well seasoned, so he got a lot of criticism. Well, let's think of Tom Watson. He was prepared and had more history than about anybody, and he got a ton of criticism. So I don't know if it's an issue of not having enough experience to take the job. I have no idea. I think there's just always opportunities to make mistakes. I think he made mistakes. I know Furyk, who I was close to at the time, he was captain. He got a lot of criticism for being the captain. If you lose, you're going to get a lot of criticism, did a lot of things wrong. If you win, you would have done a lot of things right.
And that's just like any coach or manager of any professional sports team. If you're winning, you're a hero. If you're not, you're going down. You're going to get beat. Bob did.
Yeah. What about to happen to Penn State University over the weekend?
You're right.
That only took 24 hours before that change was made. That's exactly what you're talking about, Ray. When you're the right person at the time, everything's wonderful. Okay. And we've talked, and I've agreed with Craig on a number of things. And I do think I'm 50-50 on the value of a captain when it comes to the Ryder Cup. Well, don't shoot the messenger. What's the message? What is the message from the person at the top? Is it the right message to bring people together? Or is it a different message? There's so many different factors involved in the modern day Ryder Cup. Okay. We all agreed that Keegan was not a good choice to be captain and playing at the same time. Well, as it turned out, he could have at least won one or two points in my mind for what he was facing with what his players were performing out in front of him. That's my point. That's my point of view. But what is the message before you arrive at a Ryder Cup? Are you getting the groundwork, the foundation for all those people together? Are you making it the best possible environment for those folks? That's what a coach can do. And if you're a good coach psychologically, I think you have an advantage.
And set up the golf course in such a way that it is an advantage to your players, Craig Renshaw. What about Keegan?
Well, I think he was fifth, sixth choice. He didn't even know he was in the consideration. They threw him a bone because they didn't pick him before. A series of questionable decisions that have been done for a long, long time.
And they stacked him with co-captains that were very experienced.
Okay, so then maybe we should be blaming all them. I just don't, this co-captain stuff too. They're even less important.
Well, I know you and many other people have been talking about for a long time, and on both of these shows for many years, just how important is the captain, and then it's the right captain. Dr. Lanny, I'm going to give you the final word.
I don't have a final word. It comes down to the players, I think.
It does. It comes down to the score, right?
Yeah, right. The players. And I can see that there could be a trouble in managing those players that are all wealthy and all have all played as individuals, and now you're asking them to play a team sport. That's a little bit foreign to their behavior, but it still comes down to, I would think all of them wanted to play as well as they could. I believe they probably did. They just didn't play as well as the other team. I don't know that it's a coaching issue. I think it's a player issue.
And that's exactly what Sir Nick Faldo told me a few years ago, and I played part of that interview where he talked about the Ryder Cup. And he said, look, first of all, Europe is in the American team's head. We're in your head. We've already got you messed up a little bit. And the number two, that causes a team to scramble and a coach to outthink or overthink or scramble a little bit in their planning if the other team is in their head. And then he said, number two, I'd look at your scoring. And he named a couple Ryder Cups and he compared Europe's and the U.S. scores. And he said, you got to look at that. Your scoring is just not there. All right, Dr. Lanny Johnson, thank you so much for joining us and taking your time today on a busy Monday for the show today. And it's, as always, it's a pleasure. And give us your website again so that folks can go there and learn more about one of the things you're up to. Because whatever Dr. Lanny's up to, you want to know about it.
It's DRLANNY Health. DrLannyHealth.com, and you can listen to me talk about it, or you can read about it. There's enough information there to get you started, and I think it can be a benefit.
All right, there he is, Dr. Lanny Johnson. Thank you so much. And Craig and Bob, we only have a couple of more minutes to go, about six or seven. And Dr. Lanny, you're welcome to stay with us if you like.
I have to work on, so I'll keep on going.
I have a quick question for the doctor.
Well, go ahead.
Over the weekend, we had two Englishmen on the DP World Tour, and Marco Penge wins in a playoff over Daniel Brown, another Englishman. During the tournament, Dan Brown received physical therapy for a neck and a right shoulder injury during the final round. He was on his back getting the therapy several times during the back nine. He ends up birdieing three of the last six holes to force a playoff. Someone did something right in the physio there, doctor. And I just wondered if there's any quick answer what they did for the neck and the shoulder to keep him mobile.
I have no idea, but if I felt good, I'd have it done to get play better.
But that was quite an accomplishment for the young man. And just to be able to play and do so well on those last few holes.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Yep.
All right. On other news in the golf world, and there's a ton of it, we're coming into the playoffs on the PGA Tour Champions. It's going to be at Phoenix Country Club here in November. We've got a media day coming up, and we're going to have some interesting golfers there and interesting play. I can't wait to get there and interview and and just watch all this play out for the PGA Tour champions as we do every year. We will have Tiffany with us, who is the senior management of the PGA Tour champions, Charles Schwab Cup Championship. So two events in one going on, winding up the year, and then the actual tournament itself. And it's going to be a lot of fun. More on that as we go forward. And we had a winner on the Champions Tour. I don't know if Dr. Bobby had a chance to look at that. And then we had a winner on the PGA Tour. And there's been some flap about whoever – there's a player that got a Masters invitation who won on what, the DP World Tour?
Yes.
But the player on the PGA Tour did not.
That's correct.
Tell us about that. And then, Craig, I can't wait to hear from you on this one.
It's a fall event under there, and there's no points perks, I should say, like you would receive, and no points for the FedEx points for the fall events. And that's what happened. And Xander Schauffele wins in Yokohama, Japan, the ancestral home for his mother and his grandparents. And he played brilliantly down the stretch. And Greisserman from Palm Beach Gardens almost holes it on the last hole to force him to birdie the last hole.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch that because that was a day ahead. When I woke up the morning, we knew Xander had won. Okay, I'm watching Marco Pena on television in Europe live and watching and seeing that later replayed. And I really enjoyed Xander's play. He looked fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think he's back. I think Xander Schauffele is back, playing better. Craig, your take on it?
Yeah, Xander played fine at the Ryder Cup. He's continuing to improve and get things going in the right direction. You know, and he's won there before. I believe he's now the two-time defending champion there. Mm-hmm. So it's a golf course he has good vibes on. So he loves the course. He loves going over there and probably has some relatives over there. And, you know, there's, you know, horses for courses, and that seems to be his.
Absolutely. All right. Well, great show, guys. And I'm going to give you the final word, Craig. First of all, I know you're our eminent instructor. What are you working on this week with any students you might be working with, and or what's your advice for the folks? We've got beautiful weather going on. I know there's big storms happening in parts of the country, but we still have some great time to play really all over the USA, and certainly in the southern bellwether states, in the southwestern and California. I mean, it's all time for some great golf, Las Vegas, all of that whole area. So golf is alive, well, and we've got a lot of golf left to talk about on the tour and on the Champions Tour. Ladies are coming into their time. And so we have European Tour, DP World Tour, on and on it goes. So we'll look at tour schedules coming up here on the Saturday morning Great American Golf Show. We'll continue to talk some Ryder Cup and more information about that and people's takes on it and where it's headed, because it's going to continue for the next several weeks for sure. And I just want to get your final word.
Well, weather has changed. Obviously, you guys got a ton of rain down there in Arizona.
My goodness, flooding, flash flooding.
You know, so the thing that I'd be concerned about is making sure the golf courses didn't wash out after all the overseeding. You know, that would be a concern. If you had gotten grass down in the last couple weeks before the heavy rains, you're going to be in really good shape probably. So you might have some golf courses that are a little questionable this year, but some that are just going to be phenomenal due to the luck of when they got their seed down and the sprouting of the grass. So work on the short games, and it'll be interesting to see how the golf courses come through the weather in Arizona.
Absolutely. All right. Dr. Bob, give me your.
I think I go with the theme, a three-word theme that sort of started off our program, quality of life. How we go about our own daily life, and are we keeping active and walking? Not necessarily with a golf club in our hands, but just how are we able to handle our mental state? I think that has a lot to do with how we can live and produce a better feeling about not only spectator events, but also our own personal events, and which include the game of golf.
Absolutely. All right, guys, I've got two little announcements to make. Thank you both for being with me. I appreciate it. We'll be back with Dr. Bob and Craig Renshaw on this coming Saturday morning's Great American Golf Show. And before we leave you, I want to mention Owen Quinn. He's a very, very bright young man, has worked in the golf business, extremely intelligent, capable person. He lives over in the San Francisco, that whole greater area over there in the Bay Area, and has worked, as I said, in the golf business and saw a need for a product. And he named the product Founded Golf, and it's at figolf.com, figolf.com. And you want to go there because he's come up with an answer to a long time problem that golfers of all ages, male or female, junior players, we all face this problem. And that is we leave our golf clubs somewhere. Our wedge, our driver, a putter laying in the taller apron of the green, as we walk off the 18th hole, get in our car and leave. And then we don't realize we've left it there until maybe the next time we play. Could be the next day, could be in a month. But we then realize it and we call a golf course and we try to figure out where are we. But I want you to go to figolf.com because Founded Golf is a sticker with a QR code on it at the end of your golf club. It fits on the grip end. And you register at figolf.com and you have your subscription. It's extremely inexpensive. I mean, we're talking about extremely inexpensive. You know, it's less than a used pitching wedge. So the only thing I can say is when the golf club is found, you scan in that QR code at the end of the club. And from there, you can contact the golfer who has registered their clubs and their QR codes on the website. And then you can let them know. And people can get their clubs back. Golf courses can quickly find a club, scan it, and let the golfer know, we've got it, come and get it. It saves the staff a lot of time. Superintendents as well and their staff, busy taking care of our beautiful golf courses. It's going to save them a ton of time finding clubs and then having to do something with them, maybe even trying to track down the member or player. So figolf.com, it's just not just a great idea, it is an innovation that's been a long time coming. You want to get in on this, figolf.com. And I want to thank them so very, very much for being a part of what we're doing to not just help you, but to bring you great innovations and great products that are going to be there for what's going on. And then you talk about lower back problems. Dr. Gavin Rutledge is a lower back pain and sciatic nerve expert. He has a new book out. You've got to get to Amazon, find the new book. There was a promotion going on. It is, you go to golf.painfreeandconfident.com, golf.painfreeandconfident.com. Just fabulous book from a longtime physician who is an expert in the lower back and sciatic nerve area of your body. Now, we've just had Dr. Lanny Johnson on talking about it. Dr. Gavin Rutledge has an entire program for you. And you want to go to golf.painfreeandconfident.com because when you do that, you're going to not only get his book from there, you can find out all about what he's doing. And we're going to have him on as well to talk about this, the new Tiger Woods breaking news over the weekend of his surgery and what we spoke about through the show today. So that's happening. We appreciate everybody so much, and we appreciate you so much. I mean, without you, the listeners, there's no motivation. It has been my joy to be all these years bringing you great golf talk, golf guests, from the tours to outside of professional golf play to all the other aspects of the game. I love talking about women in golf and the growth there, junior golf and the growth there, anything and everything we can help you with equipment. Golf, you want to make sure you get to touredge.com and find out about their, not just their new look, but all their new equipment. Amazing. And we're going to have John Claffey on to talk about that very, very soon. And lots more to come on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show and this Saturday on Great American Golf. Remember, these shows go on to the Golf News Net. You want to go to golfnewsnet.com on Monday evenings and then on Saturday mornings early. And you'll see the show play multiple times during those days. They're then sent off to all the big audio platforms that you love to look at. So make sure you go to the golfnewsnet.com, and you'll find my television show there as well. New shows are being uploaded right now. And one more thing I've got to do, and just make a very brief mention of one of our new sponsors, Homeland Brew. They're located right here in Anthem, Arizona, which is the north, up in the north part of the greater Phoenix metro area. They are a fun place. They create their own beer. They have a lot of different craft beers. They have other beverages, non-alcoholic beverages. It's family, food, fun, and friendly. They have all kinds of games and things to do. And they're located right over on the other side of I-17. If you're listening local around the Anthem or the Phoenix area, come on up to Homeland Brew, 4225 West Fortune Drive, 4225 West Fortune Drive. Homeland Brew, a lot of fun for you and your family. I want to thank Mike and his family, the owners, for giving us that and for being a part now of supporting these radio shows. And I will be mutually supporting them as well. Homeland Brew. We'll talk to you and be with you this coming Saturday morning for Great American Golf. Enjoy your week.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.